Eat shit and die, Ricky!
Eat shit and live, Bill.
People's eyes are gonna pop out of their damn skulls when they see this.
Listen, you little bitch. You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish.
Finger licking good.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Horror Flicks and Guitar Picks podcast. I'm your host, Tim Trashmouth Mills, and today's episode is one of our Tiny Terror minisodes, and I'll be giving a brief review of the recently released film, Late Night with the Devil. This film was directed by Colin and Cameron Karnes, and stars the one and only David Dastmalchian. And currently, you can catch it now in theaters, or you can wait until April 19th when it hits on Shudder. However, I definitely recommend checking this one out in theaters, which I'll get more into once I dive into my review and stuff like that. But before we do that, I just want to remind you guys to go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and X for all updates on the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, you could do so the free way by just sharing it around or rating and subscribing. Or if you'd like to sign up for the Patreon, it is only $2 a month. The link for that is in the description. You'll get some stickers in the mail, shout out on a future episode, and a couple other perks as well. So check that out if you're interested. Also, before diving into this week's episode, I just want to say a huge rest in peace to Chance Perdomo, who played Ambrose, Sabrina's cousin in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And apparently he was also in The Boys spinoff, Gen V, which I haven't checked out yet. I was a huge fan of his, and he was only 27 years old. So that's just super sad, and my heart goes out to his family and friends. Also, want to say a huge rest in peace to Vontae Davis. I'm a huge Colts fan, as well as my whole family are Dolphins fans, so I've always rooted for them as well. And he played for both teams before going on to play for the Bills and then retiring quite young. He was also only 35. Just two super huge losses, and it's very sad that they died so young. And just, I would want to send my condolences to all their friends and family and stuff like that. I was a big fan of both of theirs, so anyone that knows me knows that I love the Colts. Like, I literally have a Colts horseshoe tattooed on my knee and stuff, so with all that being said, let's dive into this week's episode. Now, of course, with these minisodes, I like to go through pretty much four stages, starting with what I recommend it before jumping into kind of spoiler territory with what I like about it, what I don't like about it, and then finally finishing up with a rating out of 10. So with this film, of course, I'm not going to spoil the whole thing because it is only in theaters right now. It won't hit streaming till April 19th, which will be exclusive on Shudder, of course, but I will go into light spoilers, so pretty much once I get past the recommending part and get into what I like about it, just know that there will be light spoilers from that point on, but I won't spoil the entire film at all, and try not to even spoil big scenes and stuff like that, because I would really like people to enjoy this, which kind of leans into what I recommend it, and like I said at the top of the show, I definitely would recommend this, and I highly recommend going to see it in theaters. One thing I really enjoyed about this is that it's super unique and just super fun. And I know a lot of people are going to be up in arms when I say this film is unique, because they're immediately going to be like, oh, it's just Ghostwatch. Or, you know, there's also a recent fad of films like Heebie-Jeebie TV or the WNUF Halloween special and its sequel. But one thing I like about this that kind of sets it apart is where Ghostwatch was released without commercials. I don't know if the original special ran with commercials, and even then it was just normal commercials, if so, to where these other newer ones like WNUF and Heebie-Jeebie TV, they do these fake commercials. This one kind of turns into a cinematic film during the commercial breaks and gives you more into the background of what's going on behind the scenes, so you get reactions from, you know, the on-set crew as well as the actors of what's going on, you know, on the late night show, as well as you get kind of subtle hints and like a little bit of build up towards what's to come next, you know, when the next segment shows up. So I really enjoy this one. I highly recommend seeing it in theaters. And another thing I would say about it is that it definitely covers, I feel like I would recommend this to all horror fans. So if you're a casual horror fan, I'd recommend it because it never gets too scary. It just gets genuinely creepy at times. And if you're a diehard horror fan, I feel like it's fun and unique enough that you'll definitely still enjoy it, even if you don't get scared, obviously, because as diehards, it takes a lot to get you scared. So I could definitely understand where you walk away from this one and be like, oh, that was super fun, but not scary. So, but with all that being said, I'm going to jump into what I liked about it, so we'll get a little spoilery here. But I won't go too heavy on spoilers, because like I said, I really recommend seeing this film in theaters, and it won't even be on Shudder for like another couple weeks. So, but one thing I really enjoyed about this film, and that you'll see in pretty much every review about it, is that this cast is amazing. David Dastmalchian does it excellent. He has like this little sidekick that's kind of like an Andy Richter or a Guillermo, I can never say that name, but you know, Jimmy Kimmel's sidekick, Guillermo Gilmore. God damn it. Gilmore? I don't know if I can't say it. But anyways, pretty much, so he has like this little talk show sidekick that's awesome. He has a ton of guests that kind of move the story along, but also like just bring their own flair and fun to the show. And then of course, like his main thing of the show is bringing on this possessed girl. And a lot of times with kid actors, they could really make or break a movie for me. And I feel like the little girl that played Lily in this, I'm gonna look up her name. She did excellent. And I really think that she made this film, you know, like I'm not gonna say she made the film like on her own, but like I said, I feel like kid actors could really make or break a film. And with this being such a main part of the finale, she really came in and made sure that, you know, she set it in solid and helped everything finish off nicely. So her name is Ingrid Torelli. And if I'm not mistaken, this is her first film. I know she's done some like stuff on stage and whatnot, but I know it looks like, well, she's done some TV stuff as well, it looks like. And no, she's done a movie before. So I just don't think she's anything to hit big in like the U.S. or, oh no, this was her first movie. That movie's not out yet. Okay, cool. So yes, this was her first film. So definitely want to give a big kudos to her. She's an Australian actress. Didn't even know that until just now. So I just really enjoyed the cast. One thing I also liked about it was the practical effects. There's, of course, some other things that will come up later with the CGI and my complaints, of course. But as far as the practical gags go in this, I loved it. There's this thing with worms, which I won't go into too much detail, but if you know, you know. It's super cool looking. There's like, you know, a couple head explosions. I think you even see that in the one of the trailers if you're looking close enough. Just a bunch of cool shit. And overall, the set design itself is just amazing. Like the way that the late night show looks, and you know, the way that the band plays them in at the end of every commercial break, and the way that the crowd plays along to them. I know everything's just set up to this is set up to this perfectly, and it I feel like it sells itself just as well as a Ghost Watch. But like I said, it has its uniqueness with those commercial breaks being used to show behind the scenes stuff, and not just fake commercials or, you know, things that check you out of it and or scare you and this and that. So one other thing I liked about this film before moving into the one thing I didn't like about it was the pacing is perfect, in my opinion. I feel like you never get bored. It gets you some information right off the bat that you're kind of like, ooh, that's interesting. You know, that's going to come into play. And then as the movie moves on, it does like enough to scare you or like let you know, like, hey, this is like, it does things that as a seasoned horror fan or just a seasoned movie fan, honestly, you kind of immediately know, oh, that's going to come back. You know what I mean? Like without giving too much away, you know, at the very beginning, they talk about how the character that David Dasmachin plays is like part of this group called the Grove, of where all these wealthy people go to a retreat. And it's like, that sounds very culty, you know what I mean? And stuff. So like, you kind of know that's going to call back, and just little things like that, you know, to where with, you know, they mention he has a sick wife and this and that, and it's just, or that he had a sick wife. Unfortunately, you know, she passes away before the night of the Halloween special. So that's pretty cool. But that's, and that's my last positive thing, is that it takes place on, it's like a Halloween special, so you can watch this every October and it fits perfectly. It's very fun. I really enjoy it, and I definitely would recommend checking this out. And it's one I could watch again and again. It's definitely gonna end up on my top 10 of the end of the year, and probably in my back half, but it could definitely make my top half if the year doesn't really pick up, because right now there's not much going on. But definitely a bunch to be excited for in the coming months, though, for sure, with Maxine. You know, we got Nosferatu at the end of the year. You got, we got another Saw movie, another Terrifier movie. So we got a bunch of stuff coming out still. But, so to kind of segue into what I didn't like about the film, I'm kind of going to go into the middle ground and go ahead and give some info out, because much like when we do our monthly episodes or any kind of episode, if we talk about a film or a movie that has any kind of negative connotation to it, I don't know if that's the right word. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but either way, with this film, a lot of people are putting backlash online and stuff like that because they did take a few AI images and reworked them and then used them in the film. Like every time you see like a, we'll be right back, Jack Delroy, god damn it, I just thought about the guy. Sorry, I couldn't think of David Dasmachin's character's name, and when it finally popped in, I was like, ah, there it goes. So when they put up like, we'll be right back with Jack Delroy, like all that's like AI images that were reworked by graphic artists and then used. So I want to kind of just put that out there to let people know that there are AI images used in this film, and they've gotten some backlash. But like the directors themselves said, and well, I don't think they said this part, but one thing is they did this film back in like early 2022 is when this film got finished. It got finished up, and it's been through the festival circuit literally since then. All through 2023, this film was going through the festival circuit and building hype, and that's how I found out about it. And that's another reason I meant to say this back when I was doing the recommendation thing. That's another reason I completely recommend it, is because when I first heard about this film, it's built a year of hype online, to me at least, because I listen to podcasts like Nightmare on Film Street or Colors of the Dark, and they go to all these festivals and, you know, they recommend movies that they saw and, you know, tell you to keep an eye out. And they've been talking about this movie for months. So I've been really looking forward to this, especially with, you know, knowing that it's part of this new sub-subgenre of TV programming, which is like a subgenre of found footage, which is a subgenre of the genre horror. So I've definitely been looking forward to it for a while, kind of like the sadness. And it really, you know, where that built hype off of a red-banded trailer that was just fucking nuts. And then a year later, the movie finally came out and it lived up to its hype. This did exactly the same thing to me. It lived up to its hype. I had a great time with it, and I just wanted to shout that out as well. But back to the AI images thing, the reason I don't think that's such a problem here is because, again, they did it back in early 2022 before people really knew what AI was doing. Like, of course, everybody's, you know, we've had iRobot, the movie, like, that movie came out years ago, and so like, AI, even the movie, Artificial Intelligence, with that one's got Haley Joel Osment. I always get that mixed up with Bicentennial Man with Robin Williams. But either way, we got all these AI movies that have been out for years, and we knew AI as a concept is scary or whatever, but we never knew that it was going to leak into art and be an issue until probably early 2023. So I want to give them a little bit of a pass there. They weren't really stepping on toes, and they didn't really know that this was going to be such an issue. And I don't think that they would have used it knowing that by the time this film finally got released that it was such an issue in media. And then also want to give them credit for, even though these are AI images, the problem with AI is that they replace graphic design artists, and these images were still used by graphic artists that they hired and paid to then doctor them up and use them for the film in the way that they wanted to. So they still paid graphic designers, and they didn't, like, you know, cut out the middleman with it. They just used AI images to get what they wanted to kind of show a basis, and then had them touch them up and put them out. So while I still am against, you know, using AI in films, and I definitely don't recommend doing it, like when Marvel used AI for their intro for one of their recent, I think it was Secret Wars or whatever, not Secret Wars, the one that was Samuel Jackson was the lead of, they pretty much used Secret Invasion. They pretty much used AI for the intro to Secret Invasion and got a bunch of backlash. At that point, we were in the middle of a strike. That's really shitty. Like, don't do that shit. And at this point, we know the threats. Don't do it anymore. You know, it's kind of like the Karnas brothers definitely don't get away scot-free. But I do think they deserve a slap on the wrist for this one, because it was before it was known to be a problem. And I truly believe that they won't use it in the future, knowing that the issues it's caused and stuff like that. And if they do, then it becomes a different thing. So, but the only other thing I didn't really like about this film is the ending. It does, even though I said the pacing is perfect, once you get to the ending, I feel like there's some knowledge that you kind of pick up throughout the film that then they feel the need to kind of just really phone it in and hammer it in to show you. And not only do I not need to see things that I already kind of picked up throughout the film, like knowledge-wise, I don't really need it hammered home in a visual aspect, but it also kind of made the ending feel a little bit laggy. Like, once we got to the end, I was almost like, all right, here's the climax, and then a couple more things start to happen, and I'm like, I would have been fine with it being over, you know? So it's just one of those things where I really enjoy the overall film, and you'll see with my rating, I definitely rate this one high. But my one complaint, well, I guess I got 1.5 complaints, is just the fact that in the end, they really feel like they need to hammer some stuff home that they didn't need to. And my other mini complaint is, in that end, there's this really cool scene where something happens that's like half practical, but then there's a lot of CGI on top of it as far as effects go. And the CGI just does not work in this film for me. It's, I don't know. Like, I don't know if they're calling back to Ghostbusters on purpose, but it looks worse than the original Ghostbusters films before they were remastered. I love the Ghostbusters films, don't get me wrong, but we're in 2023. This was made in 2022 still. I don't know, just some of the electricity, some of the stuff that's going on just looks very, I don't know, just after watching such a real, not real, but just such a grounded, practical looking film, and then all this like CGI comes out of nowhere in the grand finale, just really pulled me out of part of the finale. So didn't ruin it for me completely, obviously, because like I said, for the 100th time, I still recommend the shit out of this film, and I definitely recommend seeing it in theaters if you can, but it's just, I don't know. It just made the ending, it took the film away from being, you know, perfect. Not that, you know, there's very few perfect films in the world, period, but this just definitely stopped. This just definitely was feeling like it could be a perfect film up until the climax for me, and then just lulled a little bit right there at the end, which sucks, but definitely not enough to ruin it. And with that being said, I'll jump into my rating. I rate this thing at 8.5 out of 10. I fucking loved this thing. Like I said, it was super fun. I went and saw it. I should have shouted him out at the beginning of the episode, but shout out Jake Dozen of the band Suck a Wet and Don't Start None. I went and saw it with him before checking out Eternal Sleep and Steel Nation up in Maryland this past weekend, and we just had a blast with it. Me and him both enjoyed it. We both had the same issues with the ending, where we just felt like we were starting to check out a little bit, and some things that happened just were unnecessary. But overall, we both would recommend the shit out of this film. If you can't catch it in theaters, it will be on Shudder. It will be on Shudder April 19th, which is perfect. You could watch it that night for a Friday night film, or you could just wait till 4:20 the next day and, you know, smoke some stuff, you know, if you partake and enjoy the film that way. So either way, definitely recommend this one, and definitely check it out ASAP. Like I said, it's in the theaters now. I think it's playing strictly at AMC's, so if there's an AMC, that's probably your best bet. But if not, definitely just put it in Google and, you know, look at showtimes nearby. But thank you guys so much for listening to this Tiny Terror episode and just hearing me ramble about one of the films I really enjoyed so far. I'm going to try and go check out a couple films this week. I'll definitely be checking out Immaculate. So that'll be one of the films I'll be reviewing on next week's Tiny Terror episode. But until then, make sure you check out my episode featuring Ben Roberts of the band Blood Ritual on Thursday. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and stay safe.